From the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Gemma Gaudette. More Idaho Matters right now. If you haven't voted in a few years, your registration may have been dropped from the voter rolls. Every other year, Idaho's 44 county clerks and the Secretary of State are required to do a review of the voter registration system, and they are required to drop the voters who have moved, who haven't been voting, and who have become ineligible to vote. Now, during this year's review, more than 74,000 names were removed from the system, and officials want to get the word out to folks who may have dropped off so you can re-register if you're able to do that. So joining us today to talk more about this is Idaho Secretary of State Phil McGrane. Phil, it's always good to have you on the show.
Good to chat with you, Gemma.
So first off, Phil, I think a lot of people don't even realize that there is this requirement. So why is there a requirement, and why is this review done every 2 years?
That's a great question. And I think, as you highlighted, you know, one of the important things we want to get out to voters is just to make people aware both that voting's happening, how they can register to vote. And I think most importantly, in case there's any Idahoans who were removed but are hoping to vote, especially with the 2024 presidential election coming up, that they know how they can get back on the voter rolls. One of the things many people don't realize is we're constantly working as county clerks and the Secretary of State's office to maintain clean voter rolls, just making sure that the list is current, that people still reside at their current address, regularly making updates for things like we get information from vital statistics when people die. And all of this is part of the regular maintenance that happens. The biannual part that you referenced really is kind of the last piece of that process, where we try to do a catch-all. There's many people who move to other states, or someone may pass in another state and we don't get notification. And so after every general election, we go through and remove anybody who hasn't voted in any election in the last 4 years as kind of a catch-all effort to keep the voter rolls clean. I think one of the things, you know, in Idaho, and I know you know this well, we're very fortunate that we have same-day registration. So it always is an easy way for someone to get back on the voter rolls and still participate in an election. And no one should ever be deterred from being able to vote in an upcoming election.
Okay, so let's get more specific then about who gets dropped off this voter roll. Now, as you mentioned, if you haven't voted in 4 years, when you do this review, your name will be taken off the registry. If you've moved out of state, that makes perfect sense, if someone has passed away. But let's talk about this ineligibility to vote, Phil. Who would potentially fall into that category?
So I think one thing, just to clarify from, you know, your opening comments, in terms of the number of people that were removed due to not having voted in the last 4 years, that was just shy of 40,000 people. So that 75,000 number, it's true that we've removed 75,000 people, but that's the collective number of people we've removed for all the various reasons. Of the 75,000, 40,000 of them are from that final maintenance piece. But constantly, so on a monthly basis, we are going through and removing, like we said, those deceased voters. Another example is we get information from the Department of Corrections. So as people are convicted of a felony in Idaho, they lose their right to vote. And so we will routinely remove newly convicted felons from the rolls. That would be an example of being ineligible. And then there's other smaller reasons that pop up, including things, you know, and this is something that's gotten some national attention, is when people are challenged. And that means there could be people in a community who question whether somebody's still lives at their current address or is should still be a voter. And so we have a process where we reach out to those voters to confirm that someone is or isn't eligible.
Okay. And there are 44 county clerks in the state of Idaho. Every county has a clerk. How do they do the double checking of the voter roll?
So it you know, this has been a big topic nationally, is we do, as I mentioned, do cross comparisons to other databases. So when someone registers to vote, we are actually actively checking against Department of Transportation and Social Security Administration to validate someone's information. Similarly, as I mentioned, we do communicate with Department of Corrections or Vital Statistics for information. That's important. And then also with all of these processes, Anytime someone's going to be removed, it's important to note that voting is a constitutional right, and we don't take it lightly in terms of removing someone from the role. So we will always first and foremost reach out to those voters and say, hey, there's a question about your registration. So you're scheduled to be removed if we don't hear back from you. That could be because you haven't voted in the last 4 years, but it could also be that, you know, there's been a question of citizenship or something else, but we will always reach out. And the county clerks are the ones actively doing this work. Our office, the Secretary of State's office, facilitates those data comparisons, but the county clerks are the ones reaching out to their local voters to make sure there's communication about, you know, often someone will follow up and say, no, here's my utility bill. I still live at this address. Mm. And then they remain on the rolls, for example.
So, Phil, if someone hasn't voted in 4 years, can the county clerks, I'm assuming they can see that they,
oh, yeah.
And that's the reason why? Okay.
Yeah, we all 44 county clerks are tied together in a database managed here by the Secretary of State's office, where we keep all of the voter history. And that includes, because this question, it's not just the primary and general elections. This includes like the bond and levy elections that happened earlier this month, or any of the, you know, library district election. So it really it truly is inactivity over the last 4 years. And there are federal laws. So the National Voter Registration Act kind of sets the parameters for when somebody can be removed or not. And we make sure that everyone's following that process when we do this voter roll maintenance.
Okay, because that was my next question was, if someone hasn't voted in 4 years, I mean, why take them off the registration? But you answered that basically. It's a federal law.
Well, it is, but I think you're still asking a good question. And part of it is it's important to maintain clean rolls. So if someone has lived here, actively voted here, you know, they could be a regular voter and then they just stop voting. And so for the next 4 years, they haven't voted at all. It's very likely that they probably moved to another state. It's less likely an active voter stopped voting. It's just they started voting in their new home. And this is part of us cleaning up, because one of the areas that is still a challenge is the communication between the 50 states. We do share information, but with so many voters throughout the country, it's always a challenge. And so this is just one of those catch-alls to keep it up to date. And this ensures that, you know, we don't have a risk, but part of it is we try to prevent voter fraud so that someone can't impersonate someone that they know has moved. This is one of the ways that we stop that, by trying to keep the rolls clean.
So is there ever an error and a person really should be registered to vote? And if so, what's the process that they should go through?
That's a great question. So does that happen? Absolutely. There are definitely times where someone gets flagged for a reason, and it could even be like a database mix up. So, you know, an easy example, this doesn't happen often, but it could happen, is where, you know, someone with the same name, a senior and a junior, get confused somehow in the process. So this is part of why we always start by reaching out to the voter. The voter will contact us and say, hey, I got this notification. It says my registration canceled, but look, I still live here. I'm still that person. And just that contact with the county clerk's office will rectify the situation, and that person wouldn't be removed. The only people who ultimately are removed are the people we don't hear from, or if there's, you know, a question about it, can't provide the supporting documentation as to why they should remain on the rolls. But, you know, the process goes, you know, this has been happening for a long time. It's not a new process, and it goes rather uneventfully as we do it. And that's because, as expected, most people have moved. And so there really isn't any conflict when we go through this cleanup process.
So I have to tell you, I was pretty surprised that 74,000 people were removed from the system, because that seems like a pretty big number. But I'm curious then, how many people are actually registered to vote in Idaho?
Yeah, we hover around about 1 million registered voters currently. So right now, just because we've recently completed the maintenance, we're just below that at 984,000 registered voters. But we hover at that number usually right after this process kind of drops down, because we've done the biannual maintenance. And as we get to the presidential election, it will rise well over 1 million. And we kind of go through a little ebb and flow. But as you know, our state's growing fast. People are moving all of the time. Even within our state, people are moving. So it is important that we try to actively keep it up to date. And we are fortunate as a state, as I mentioned before, that if for some reason someone's removed, they didn't respond to our notice or something, They can always go on election day for any of our elections, show their ID, show a proof of residence, and still be able to register and vote on the spot. And we're very fortunate in Idaho to have that as an option.
You know, I know as we've been talking, you've talked about, you know, keeping the voter rolls clean by doing this every 2-year process. But I'm also wondering, does it also then keep elections, you know, accurate? Because there's been so much, you know, chatter around that nationwide.
This is actually why we sent out the press release and the information just to share what's going on. There are so many questions revolving around elections, especially since the 2020 election. We want to let the public know all the work that goes on behind the scenes to make sure that our elections are free, fair, and secure. That includes things like this, just routine maintenance. We hear some of the testimony at the legislature, people concerned that there's all sorts of issues, and it's actually the county clerks are constantly working at this to ensure that we do have accurate elections, just like you suggested. Part of that is making sure our voter rolls are accurate, as well as many of the other steps we take in terms of keeping our election system secure, and making sure it's always a balancing act. We want to make sure there's security, but we always want to make sure we have security without limiting someone's access to vote. So just like I've mentioned, same day registration along with this, we're always trying to balance that to make sure every eligible Idahoan has the opportunity to vote. We work hard to make that possible. But we also want to make sure everyone who votes has confidence that their vote counts just the same as everybody else's vote.
And Phil, I know even when you were the, you know, Ada County clerk, even when you were the deputy clerk in Ada County, one of the things that you have always been very adamant about is transparency in elections, is that, you know, election integrity. So I know that those are also really important to you now as Secretary of State. So with that said, how would you rate the integrity of Idaho's voter system?
You know, I think we have a great election system here in the state. You know, I think when, you know, recently in my new role, I've had the opportunity to meet with many secretaries from other states, and there's states across the country, both red and blue, who are envious of some of the laws that we have in terms of access to things like early in-person voting, the ability to have same day registration, request an absentee ballot, or just making sure we have access at the polls on election day. I think there's still lots of opportunity to make sure voters know when elections are coming up, and our office plans on pursuing that. But it is an important process. If we want to have government that represents us, we need to be active at the polls. And I see part of our office's role is to make sure we get the information and resources out to voters so that they know when it's time to vote and they know that they can make informed choices when they get there.
Okay, so I'm thinking of someone who maybe gets dropped from the voter rolls, right? And maybe they don't remember getting contacted, or, you know, they forget. I mean, life happens, right? And so you can find yourself in this situation, right? Then you show up on election day, you're ready to vote, you think you can vote, and all of a sudden they're like, nope, you're not registered. What does a person do at that point on election day?
It's a great example, because that situation almost certainly will occur in some form or fashion. What they'll have to do, and voters are asked to show their ID when they vote, even if they're already on the rolls, is they'll most likely have to show their driver's license. All the information we have shows overwhelmingly when people are asked to show ID, they pull out their driver's license for voting. And then they'll have to provide proof of residency. And, you know, it's very reasonable to think that a voter might show up to the polls and not have their utility bill in their back pocket.
Right.
In my time as clerk, what we've always seen is one of the easiest and best tools to use for voters when they show up is for people to look in their glove box. Usually their automobile insurance is up to date with their current address on like a 6-month rolling basis. And it usually is a real easy check for someone. But just by providing that proof of residency, so having documentation with their address along with their identification, they can register on the spot and the poll workers will issue them a ballot to vote there. And that happens all the time, every election. And especially more common, rather than being dropped through this process, it's usually people move. You know, they move from one apartment to another in town, and they forget that they didn't update their registration. So that same process applies to anybody who needs to register to vote when they head into the polls.
All right. Well, as always, Phil, we really appreciate you taking time to talk to us about this really good information to have, especially as we head in soon to another election season.
Well, it's always a joy to talk to you, Gemma, and hopefully there'll be more opportunities to talk in the future to let people know about the elections that are coming up. But we definitely have an exciting cycle ahead of us with the 2024 cycle coming up.
Yeah, we'd look forward to that. We've been talking with Idaho Secretary of State Phil McGrane about the latest updates to Idaho's voter rolls. Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
This is Chip Brantley, co-host of the NPR podcast White Lies. Before we found the man in Vancouver, before we sued the State Department, before we snuck into the graveyard of a federal penitentiary, all we had were the photographs. Photographs of a group of Cuban men standing on the roof of a prison in rural Alabama. That's this season on the NPR podcast White Lies.